the clean gold to clean them up this morning. Lift up your hand and place a demand. Lord Jesus, this month, holiness is what I want. Holiness is what I need from you. Ask him, Lord Jesus, clean me up this morning. Purge me of all iniquity. Purge me of all unrighteousness. And let your name only be exalted in my life, in my ways, in everything I do. Let your name only be magnified. Speak to him this morning. Lord, I call on you. I ask of you. Purge me and let your name be exalted. Let me be fit for your use and let your name be magnified. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
And someone that is glad to see the first Sunday of the 11th month, something good is about to happen for you.
Amen.
Also, give God thanks. Lord, I've seen the first Sunday of the 11th month. The 11th hour miracle will come to me speedily. I thank you, Lord, from January to November. Here I am again in your presence. Here I am again at your feet, giving praise and thanks, giving glory and honor. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
The third thanksgiving is for the testimonies that we have heard. As we give him thanks for the testimonies, he's about to give birth to your own.
Amen.
So for those testimonies, let's give him thanks for them.
Amen.
No man is the doer. God is the doer. Father, thank you for the strange order of testimonies that we have heard this morning. You are the doer. And we give you praise and thanks, glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Well, with a smile on your face, you want to help me welcome someone to the month of November by your side? You want to say to your neighbor, welcome to the month of November. Welcome to the month of November. You have seen the month of November. You will see the end of the year. In Jesus' name. Put those hands together for the Lord and please be seated comfortably. Prophetic focus for the month of November. Sanctification secures destiny and eternity. Sanctification secures destiny and eternity. And we're going to be starting a teaching series for Sunday services this morning titled Understanding Pathways to Sanctification. Understanding pathways to sanctification. And this will be part 1A. Understanding pathways to sanctification. Let's begin this morning by going into the scripture of the month for Sunday services, and that is Psalms number 23. And let's read from verses 1 to 3. Psalms 23, verses 1 to 3. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And then he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. NLT translation makes it clearer. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the psalm of the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He makes me strong again. He leads me in the way of living right with himself, which brings honor to his name. David was simply saying, God has empowered me. God has engraced me to be righteous. God has empowered me. God has engraced me to be righteous. God will never tell us to do what he has not empowered or engraced us to do. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Whatever he tells us to do, he has accompanied the doing with grace. anything he tells us to do. He has given us grace to be able to accomplish it. There is no commandment we have not received, including empowerment for obedience. 1 John 14:21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him also in return, and then I will also manifest myself to him. So, a proof that we love him is that we will do what he says. He will not ask us to do what he has not empowered us to do. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I have empowered you for holiness just as I am. I have empowered you for perfection just as I am. Again, he said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Perfect. Please take note, you may have been pre-empowered for it, but taking advantage of it is our personal responsibility. Everyone in the kingdom is already pre-empowered for righteousness. However, it takes personal responsibility to activate it. There are some things the iPhone or iPad comes with. There are some features that are inside it that it came with. But until you activate it, you will never be able to enjoy the blessings of it. Until it is personally activated. Many even use the iPhone for 10 years and do not know that the iPhone has this kind of thing. Glory to God. Until it is personally activated, there is no way that we can enjoy it. That means sanctification is a personal choice. Sanctification is personal choice. Though we have been engraced for it, but each one needs to make personal responsibility in activating it. Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, make a choice. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Therefore, choose life. We have a choice, and we can make our choice, but our choice determines the quality of our lives. Whatever choice anyone decides to make, it determines the quality of our lives. Where we are today is as a result of the choice we made yesterday. Where we will be tomorrow will be as a result of the choice we make today. So he says, make a choice, and the choice you make will determine the quality of your life. I cannot make a choice for you. He says, it's your personal responsibility. It's your personal responsibility. He says, just I cannot be thirsty for you, and I cannot be satisfied to drink water for you. Then you be thirsty for righteousness, and then I will fill you with righteousness. But I cannot do it for you because it's a personal responsibility. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Only those who thirst for it and hunger for it shall be filled. So quickly, let us take a look at the cost of unrighteousness. The cost of unrighteousness, starting with what ungodliness will cost us, will make us run after godliness. So let's start this morning with cost of ungodliness. Cost of ungodliness. And number one is that help is denied. Ungodliness will make the helper, will deny you access to the help of the only helper. Ungodliness will deny the ungodly access to the help of the only helper. If you think men can help you, wait. There is only one person that can help, and that is God himself. True help, and the only help, comes from him. Now, ungodliness blocks access to help when trouble brews. Ungodliness, righteousness will make God to remember us in the time of trouble. Ungodliness actually makes God to close his eyes in the time of trouble. Because whether you like it or not, the time of trouble will come. Psalms number 33, 18 to 19. He said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. The righteous shall never lack God's help. He says, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The help that man cannot provide. Ezekiah needed help, and then he cried unto God, the helper. There is help that no man can give to you, no matter how close they are to you. There is help that no man can render for you, that is only God that can take it from you. When my daughter was going to be a year old, I've shared before, she had a domestic accident. And then we took her to the hospital, and they were doing engraftment for all over her body. And the pain, when you see the pain in a one-year-old child's eye, when you see the pain, it feels like you should take the pain from her. That, Lord, give me this pain. And the girl, 1 year old, was looking up to us for help. Why is this pain too much? This pain is too much. But there is no one that can help you at that time. Only God can. No matter how close somebody is to you, there is limit to how you can help them. Even when you feel like helping them, there is every limitation, because what you don't have, you can't give. And so, what do we do? At that point, we call on the only helper. And he says, the only helper secures our help. He gives access to help in righteousness. Glory to God. Ezekiah needed help that no man could grant him. He was sentenced to death by heaven. Now, if heaven sentences you to death, which court will you take heaven to? Heaven himself came down and said, go and say to Ezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's the verdict. And this prophet has never lied. This prophet says it as he sees it. And everything this prophet says comes to pass. In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And at that point, Ezekiah knew that he needed help. And the Bible says, and Ezekiah turned his face away from the help of man, away from the help of doctors, away from every other help. And Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And I have done that which is good in thy sight. So first thing that Ezekiah came with is, remember my righteousness. Remember my righteousness. Remember now, O Lord, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. Before Ezekiah wept, Ezekiah prayed the prayer of righteousness. It is not weeping that will bring help. It is righteousness that attracts help. You can cry from today till tomorrow for God to help. If there is no key, access, it is not even seen that you are weeping, because there is no access. But from today, help is coming for you. Amen. Yeah, Ezekiah said, Lord, I need help now. Remember my good heart and the good deeds that I have done. And the Bible says, then came help immediately. Before he finished praying, help came. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. But when ungodliness reigns, help is denied. When ungodliness reigns, help is denied. We will all need help at one point or the other in our journey of life. Righteousness is what will grant us access to the help of the helper. Number two, cost of ungodliness. It destroys destiny. Destiny is destroyed. Ungodliness can destroy destiny. God himself, speaking to the children of Israel, said with a promise. He said, as long as you guys remain righteous, this is what I will do. Leviticus chapter 26, it says from verse 12, and I will walk among you. I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be the abondment. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Ah, look at all these things. Why? Because you are walking in righteousness. As long as righteousness is in place, you are able to secure my help, and I will secure your destiny. Verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sorrow, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Say, God forbid. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And he said, well, what is it? What sin? And then he gave them the first taste of what sin looks like. Next verse. Verse 17. And I go to verse 17 now. He said, and I will set my face against, verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power. So the first sin that God is addressing here is the sin of pride. The sin of pride. Pride has a way of eroding destinies. Pride has a way. He said, and ye shall flee, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. Pride destroys destiny, and an unrighteousness begins with pride. What is it that you have that you have not received? What is it that you have that you have not received? Why is your shoulder higher than your body? Glory to God. Derailment of destiny begins with pride. Or let me say it like this. One of the manifestations of ungodliness is pride. When somebody cannot talk to you, you have your class. It begins with, look at it here. Acts of Apostles chapter 12, 21 to 24. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, yay, that is the voice of a God and not the voice of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Not because of the people that clapped for him, but because of the heart that received it without giving thanks back to God. So you just sang now, and the anointing is falling. Everybody is falling on their, under the anointing. And they came to you, oh, my brother, my sister. That was a great ministration. I know, before Uncle. I know. Are you telling me? Of course I know. Or you just preached a great message, and people are saying, ah, Pastor, we have never had it that way. You better give glory back to the one that gave you the word, because it's not your own. As a matter of fact, you are saying some things on that altar. When you go back and listen to it, you will say, it's me that said that. I said that? When? When did I say that? Why? Because it was God that put it in your mouth. Pride destroys destinies. You won't be found there. Amen. And I say, drop your pride so that your destiny does not drop. He says the angel of the Lord smote him. The second one to watch out for, after, aside from pride, is money. Money. That is another one that can derail destiny is money. And what am I talking about? The love of money. 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 to 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So money, the love of, there are challenges that money cannot solve. As a matter of fact, money has a way of adding sorrow to sorrow. He says they have forgotten about God. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and then fight the good fight of faith. This is the second, because you don't need money to be proud. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people with money or without money who are naturally proud. It is just in their system. If you are checking their blood, it will be saying proud, 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 proud. Glory to God. But there are people, they will be very humble in the beginning. Give them little money or give them little power. It will show. It will come out. It will, from afar, you will be smelling it. You know you can smell pride from afar. You will be smelling, this one is full of pride. But you don't need money to be proud. But money can aid it. Money can pump it out. It was inside before. But now that money has come, it will pump it out. The old friends can no longer be your friends anymore. Why? Because something is here now. I said, there are very rich people who are very meek. How many believe that? And there are very poor people who are very proud. In fact, you give them money, they say, me. It's me you are giving that kind of money. What will I do with this one? His pride will not even allow him to take something from you. Because he sees, it's me you are giving $100. You have, how do they say, for my hand, oh. Glory to God. You won't be found there again. Money destroyed Gehazi's destiny. Gehazi had the potential of carrying 3 times the anointing of his prophet. But Gehazi lost it. Why? The love of money. The love of money. 2 Kings chapter 5, 20 to 22. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master had spared Naaman. Because Naaman, the boss said, no. I don't need anything that you brought. Take it. Gehazi said, all these things that this man brought. So he sees it as his master spearing him. In other words, we should deal with him. Bring everything now. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. Verse 21, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he alighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment. Every lover of money is a potential liar. If you love money, there is no way you will not lie to get it. How many understand what I'm talking about? In fact, lovers of money are not potential liars, they are professional liars. Glory to God. And then at the end of the day, in verse 27, it says, let's start from verse 26. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. The man that had the potential of carrying three portions of the anointing ended his life in leprosy. You won't be found there.
Amen.
Cost of ungodliness, number three, denies us access to secrets. It denies us access to secrets. Divine secrets gives us access to the topmost top. And when we are denied access to secrets, that means it is lack of secrets that stagnates us. When somebody is stagnated, it means that there is no secret to take him up. And what stops us from secrets of God is unrighteousness. Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. Daniel went to the top by revelation because of secrets. Daniel 2 and verse 19, then was the secretly revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. How did Daniel get access to secrets? Verse Daniel 1:8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not be defiled. That he might not be defiled. Well, I love the testimony that I heard this morning. And the man said, God's servant said, you need to know the date you were giving birth to in the kingdom. He said, I didn't have a date, so I had to do it again. I rededicated my life again. And so what are we talking about this morning? What is the requirement for righteousness? Requirement for righteousness is repentance, genuine repentance. Requirement for righteousness is repentance. God is ready to accept anyone that is ready for repentance. God never holds our past against us. No. Genuine repentance makes him write off our iniquities. When you owe someone money or you owe a bank money and they write you a letter that your debt has been written off, you can't go anywhere because it simply means they cannot come back for it. Your debt has been written off. That is what God does. He writes off our iniquities. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Genuine repentance results in complete forgiveness. Genuine repentance results in complete forgiveness. Therefore, anyone that is ready today is your day. November the 6th, 2022. I did mine December the 6th, 1996. December the 6th. Get a date. If you don't have a date, do it again. Do you forget your birthday? You don't. Why are you forgetting your spiritual birthday? Ezekiel chapter 18. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live, he shall not die. Repentance, genuine repentance. Glory to God. Now, what are the benefits of sanctification? What are the benefits of sanctification? Number one benefit, access to our inheritances are secured. Access to our inheritances are secured. Obadiah 17, he said, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Now, take note of that scripture very quickly. But upon Mount Zion, which is in church, shall be, first of all, deliverance from sins, which is repentance. Put it back up. Deliverance from sins, which is repentance. And then holiness kicks in. And when holiness kicks in, then the delivery of what we are entitled to begins with repentance. He says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from sins. And then holiness kicks in. And once holiness kicks in, then we are entitled to the delivery of our possessions. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Among all them which are sanctified. Sanctification gives us access to our inheritance. You would see men of that rich men, some of them say, don't give anything to this child until he changes his ways. When I'm gone, don't give anything to this child, because all he does is to do drugs and do all manner of things until he has changed. Don't give him anything from what I'm leaving behind. So how do you think the King of Glory would feel? He said, when you have changed, then you are entitled to the inheritance that you are entitled to. Then I will give it to you. No one will miss their inheritance. Amen. Benefit of sanctification. Number two, speedy answers to prayers. You cannot be asking for something in a stinking state from the Holy God. The Holy God demands that we are holy for us to be answered. Speedy answers to prayers. When Hezekiah made his case of righteousness, the answer was speed. The answer came with speed. Isaiah 38 and verse 5 that we read, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Before he finished praying, answer came because of righteousness. Answer came because of righteousness. I've heard God's servant say one time, he said, except God has not called me. That is, it is only if God didn't call me that thing will not happen. It would take a man of grace to, because I have people that you don't know if God called you, or you are the one calling yourself. Glory to God. He says, except God has not called me. And some, even when he's praying sometimes, you would see the passion in his face when he's praying, which means he knows that something will happen. For some people he's praying for, some of them are like, but when they see his face, that's what gives them their faith. That's where their faith comes from.
For somebody in this service, whatsoever you came in with as a challenge this morning is going home with you as a testimony. Yeah. Speedy answers to prayers. If you are not clean, don't come close. Don't come close if you are not clean. And when you are shouting, I can't even hear you because you are not close to me. But you may shout from today till tomorrow and God is not hearing. And you may not open your mouth, but you are praying in your heart, but God is hearing. Because it is the prayer of the heart that proceeds from the heart that God hears. And it is a pure heart, a prayer that proceeds from a pure heart that God attends to. Psalm 66, 18 to 20. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. He did not turn away because nothing has been found in me. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, what are the pathways to sanctification? Pathways to sanctification. In other words, how can we live a sanctified life? Number one, purpose to live a sanctified life, like Daniel. Purpose to live a sanctified life like Daniel. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. Daniel was so focused on his righteousness, Johnny, that his colleagues hated him for it. And then they made up a story against him. You know, I was telling them at the Covenant Hour of Prayer that I studied the book of Daniel recently and some things came to me. I understood some things. I learned some things from that book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, what actually happened, if you take a look at that book, is that in the country where they were, the people were robbing the king. They were robbing him seriously. So the king, by wisdom, did what we can call local governments, or maybe states or local governments, and put people in charge. And then the Bible says he put Daniel to be in charge of the ones in charge, so that people will not be stealing from him. Why? Because he trusted Daniel. He knew Daniel was a man of God. He was there when the king that handed over to him died. And it was because they were doing all manner of things. The Bible says they forgot about God. They forgot about God. And then they wrote, a hand came while they were having a party and was writing on the wall, and nobody could interpret it. And the king said, anybody you bring here that can interpret these things, there are things that we will give them. But nobody could. But Daniel came. And Daniel interpreted the writing. And as he interpreted the writing, he said, this person, this king, the king, I've interpreted, you are dying now. And the king fell down and died. And it was right there, the man that became king was a 62-year-old man. And it was right there that he became king. So he knew Daniel very well. But now let's take a look at something quickly. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And then he said, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So the king had a purpose for him. But look at what happened. Look at ERV of this scripture. Darius thought it would be a good idea to choose 120 satraps to rule throughout his kingdom. He chose three men to rule over the 120 satraps. Daniel was one of the three supervisors. The king put these men in this position to keep anyone from cheating him. To keep anyone from cheating him. Daniel proved himself to be a better supervisor than any of the others. He did this by his good character and great ability. The king was so impressed with Daniel that he planned to make him ruler over the whole kingdom. And then all of a sudden, verse 4, All of a sudden, because of the king's plan, then the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. No, you cannot be king, you ruler over us. It is impossible. What can we do? For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error found in him. And then in verse 5, then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. Why? Focus. Daniel focused. Daniel purposed in his heart to live a sanctified life. Don't tell me it is not possible. Everybody is doing it. Well, if everybody is going to hell, you want to go with them? Everybody is doing it. Is it not? There are some things you can't even do where you are coming from because of the liberty that we have here now. It does not matter again. The Lord will give us understanding. Pathways to sanctification. Number 2, watch and pray for sanctification. Watch and pray. Watch and pray for sanctification. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So when you are praying, you are not closing two eyes. Because you can be praying with your two eyes closed and temptation can come. Before you open your eyes, you are gone. So it says when you are praying, close one and watch with the other one. So that when evil is coming, you can quickly pray the evil back. Not to come close to you. Watch and pray. Why? For sanctification. There is a man that Jesus helped in Matthew chapter 17, 19 to 21. Matthew 17, 20, 19 to 21 talks about how be this one goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Pathways to sanctification, I'll be explaining that more in second service. Pathways to sanctification, number 3, taking a shower in the word daily. Taking a shower in the word daily. The word has cleansing power. Inside the word of God, we are empowered to take a shower in the word daily, and then daily shower in the word of God will keep us clean and fresh. If you don't shower for 2 days, your neighbor will soon notice. How many understand what I'm talking about? Don't shower for 2 days. Your neighbor will soon notice. You know, I read something very funny recently. In fact, I had to take a screenshot of it. I didn't know that I would need it today. Glory to God. Look at what it says. A professor, a woman, said, people do not need to take a bath or shower ever to have good hygiene. That was what got my attention. What do you mean? People do not need to take a bath or shower ever to have a good hygiene. She said, showering is only for those who have body odor. However, now listen to the last one. But she admits that she showers every day to keep our hair looking reasonable. You don't have to shower to wash your hair. How many understand what I'm saying? Put it like this. But she's telling you, no, you don't shower, but me, I'm showering. So if somebody like Pastor Olayoye now does not need to shower again, Associate Pastor does not need to shower again, Pastor Balaji still has more hair. So it simply means you don't have to. It says you don't have to shower again. Why? Because you don't need to. But she showers every day to keep her hair looking reasonable. Glory to God. It will not take time before you start to stink if you don't shower. And so, taking a shower in the world daily keeps us from stinking spiritually. May the Lord give us understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's our pre-Shiloh encounter service. And as we begin to round up in this service, this Shiloh will be your Shiloh.
Amen.
I said this Shiloh will be your Shiloh.
Amen.
In this Shiloh, God will visit you.
Amen.
Please take note, those who fear God usually fare well in life. Those who fear God usually fare well in life. F-A-R-E-W-E-L-L. Psalm 112:1-3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness will endure forever. Those who fear God usually fare well in life, including their generations yet unborn. That means those who have the fear of God and live a sanctified life. Those who we have the fear of the Lord will live a sanctified life. And those who live a sanctified life have the future, their future, and the future of their children already secured. Oh, I love how this wise man puts it. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And what is the first one when it comes to evil? Pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. I looked into the dictionary. What is even the meaning of? What's the difference? He said, arrogance is an advanced level of pride. He says, is offensive display of superiority or self-importance, overbearing pride. There is pride and there is overbearing pride. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of walking in our covenant highways. And walking in our covenant highways, that Shiloh begins in this pre-Shiloh encounter. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Exactly today, 6th of November, 2006. 6th of November, 2006. Before now, I had seen where God was taking me to. I had already seen what I'm doing right now 20, 30 years ago. How I was going to get there, I didn't know. How it was going to happen, I didn't know. But I saw myself like this, outside of the country, teaching like this. And I knew it, and I kept saying to everybody that cared to listen, I'm traveling abroad. I don't know where, but I'm traveling abroad. And I know I will be doing the work of the Lord there. So when they fired me from the bank, my interview in Ghana with the Canadian government, it was like we were like 20 something people, but I was the only one pulled out to come for interview. It was on the 6th of November 2006. I was filled with fear. So if they don't give me this visa, it means my destiny, my plan, my vision is nothing. Because I knew what I'm doing now hang on that one. So I went there and I was just praying for favor. Lord, I know I don't even deserve this visa. Because the qualification is your job. Where is the job? I'd already been fired. But I went there anyway. And the guy was asking me all manner of questions. And he said, the first question he asked me, do you speak French? I said, no, he says zero. Ah. And then he said, okay, you need 67 points to qualify. If you don't get there, I will come back to see what I can do for you to get there.
And then he started asking the questions, and my heart wanted to come out of my chest. But after a while, he said, oh, okay, now we are done. And then I didn't see what he was doing because of the glass and whatever. I didn't know what he was doing. But he said, well, now I just calculated it. Welcome to Canada. You have 67 points. Oh, thank you. It's 67 I need. I don't need to come. We don't need to come back to anything again. Praise the Lord. Why? Favor. That's why I know that somebody is going home with favor today.
Amen.
Oh, your amen is weak.
Amen.
Let's take a look at two people very quickly. Examples of favor by the fear of the Lord. Who enjoyed favor by the fear of the Lord? Number one is Joseph. His favor began from Potiphar's house. He enjoyed favor until he got to the prison. He enjoyed favor. Favor also took him to the palace. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Genesis 39:21. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph's qualification, Genesis 42:18, for I fear God. Another person that enjoyed favor, Paul the apostle. The fear of the Lord took Paul the apostle from the back of the apostles' line to the front. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, for I am the least of all the apostles, Paul said. I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not even meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, everywhere you see grace, there is favor. And his favor, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the favor of God, which was with me. Paul said, grace is as a result of absolute departure from sin. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. For everyone in this service, expect your change of story via sanctification. Somebody that is ready to rise up on your feet in this first Shiloh, pre-Shiloh encounter service, you are going home with Shiloh. With favor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said you are going home with favor. Someone is going home with favor in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's servant, your father, our father, says to tell you that you should list three things that you need favor in. Three things. If you don't have a pen and a paper, bring your phone out. If you have a pen and a paper, even better for you. Three areas that you require favor. Three areas that you require favor. Three areas of your life that you need favor. Write it down quickly. Three areas that you need favor, that you know that is only God that can do this one. Only God can do this one. Man cannot do it. Man cannot try it. I can't go to any man with this request. I'm turning to the King of Glory, the only helper. It's only God that can do this one. And you are doing it with faith, expecting testimonies in return. You are doing it with faith, expecting testimonies in return. You are doing it with faith, expecting testimonies in return. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy One. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Now we are going to pray over it. Just wait a minute. But before we do that right now, very quickly, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody's here. You have heard the word of sanctification. You have heard the word of repentance. And that your testimonies hangs on your sanctification. Why not this morning? Someone wants to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I want to be born again. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you.
Why not this morning? All heads bowed again. I say all eyes closed. Somebody is in any of those categories. You want to know the date that you are giving battle in the spirit. Put your right hand on your heart, online and on ground, and let me quickly pray with you. Put your right hand on your heart. The Lord bless you if you are doing that. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Put your right. You want to say, Lord, I want to be born again. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life. God bless you, my brother. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I want to rededicate my life to you this morning. Glory to the name of the Lord. I want to rededicate my life to you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Repeat these words after me if you are saying it. Repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards to the praise and to the glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. You said that prayer in your heart. Wave your hands to Jesus. Somebody's already by your side. Glory to God. You said it in your heart. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Keep waving it. Keep waving it. If you're doing it, keep waving it. Wave your hands to Jesus. Somebody will be by your side. And if you're doing that, please just follow them very quickly for just 1 minute. And then you're back. Glory to church. I thought you were clapping. Is it cold? Is it cold? Glory to God. I said, I thought you were clapping. Glory to God. How many need favor? You have written it down. It will be in your hands. Amen. Now, lift up that paper or phone, wherever you have written it, up to heaven. And begin to pray right now. Begin to cry unto the King of Glory. Lord, I receive favor. In these three areas, I receive favor. I receive favor. Speak to him. He cannot lie. He has never lied. He cannot fail. He has never failed before. I need favor in this area. I receive favor in this area. I receive favor in these three areas, and I will return with testimony. I'm returning with testimonies. I am returning with testimonies. Testimonies of your faithfulness. Testimonies of your loving kindness. I will return with faith, with testimonies. I will return with testimonies of favor. Speak to him this morning. Speak to him this morning. Speak to him this morning. I am returning with testimonies of favor. Oh Lord, hear the cry of your people. Oh Lord, as we call on your name. Oh Lord, come pour out your mercy as we pray. Oh Lord, hear the cry of your people. Keep praying right now. Keep praying as that song is going on. Oh, Lord, come pour out your mercy as we pray. Yeah. Oh, Lord, hear the cry of your people. Oh, as the Lord liveth, every request you have lifted up to Him right now will definitely come back to you as testimonies. The favor that no man can grant you, it will show up for you in the name of Jesus Christ. It will send help your way in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. And you will share your testimony. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Say to your neighbor, it's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. You are returning with your testimony. Testimony of favor on every side. Testimony of favor in every area. In the name of Jesus Christ. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated comfortably.